Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoed met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk. Vir die belangrikste sake nuus skakel in op RSG Geldsaake.
Die grootste aftreefondse in Suid-Afrika vertrou hulle lede se aftreebeplanning toe aan Portfolium. SMS die woord rand na 37522 teen R1 en Portfolium skakel jou terug. Die kabinet het verlede week 'n nuwe geïntegreerde hulpbronplan of die ERP goedgekeur wat uiteensit hoe die regering wil verseker dat daar genoeg elektrisiteit in die toekoms opgewek word. Nkosi Ramakgopa is die minister van elektrisiteit en hy het gesê die regering beplan om oor die volgende 15 jaar nuwe opwekkingsvermoë van 105.000 megawatt te bou en dit is basies dubbel Eskom se huidige opwekkingsvermoë van net meer as 50.000 megawatt. Nou hierdie program sal na raming so wat 2,2 triljoen rand kos of 2200 miljard rand en sal grootliks deur die privaat sektor gefinansier word. Nou volgens Ramakgopa is die plan noodsaaklik om te verseker dat daar genoeg elektrisiteit is om die ekonomie teen meer as 3% te laat groei. Nou die plan behels dat hernubare energie dramaties sal toeneem terwyl die aandeel van steenkool in die energiemengsel van die huidige 58% tot sowat 27% teen 2039 sal daal. Gas sal teen 2039 sowat 16000 megawatt of 11% van Suid-Afrika se elektrisiteit lewer en kernkrag sal uitbrei van die huidige 2000 megawatt tot ongeveer 5200 megawatt. Chris Helland is 'n energiekenner, hy's ook van EE Publishers. Chris, thank you so much for your time. It seems to be a very ambitious plan and it will be phenomenal if it could be implemented. What do you think of this plan?
Well, you're right. It is a very ambitious plan. And the important thing to note about it is that it is not what we call a deterministic plan. It's not mandatory. It is a plan that has got to be financed by the private sector. And therefore, the banks and the financiers must see that it is financeable, is bankable, doesn't present an insurmountable risk, especially noting that government has indicated that it will not be providing government guarantees. So each project within this IRP needs to stand on its own two feet and be bankable and have a good business case. And in my view, that's a good thing. It takes away the ideological base of some of these government programs. So will it be implemented? Can it be implemented? I think parts of it can certainly be implemented. In fact, I think the wind, solar, and battery storage components have proved to be low risk, reliable builds on time and on budget. And I think those projects will actually exceed their allowances that have been laid out in the plan. Other higher risk, longer build, higher risk and less of a business case kind of projects will, in my view, probably not meet the timelines laid out in the IRP. And some of the projects may not even happen at all. For example, in the 2010 IRP, 10,000 megawatts of nuclear power in the IRP never happened. In the 2019 IRP, 1,500 megawatts of new coal-fired power never happened, and the hydropower from the Inga Dam in the DRC never happened. So just because it's in the IRP doesn't mean to say it's going to happen. It has to have a good business case.
Why does the plan specify technology at all? Why specify there needs to be 11% generated by gas and 18% with solar and wind? Why specify the technology? Is that important?
Look, if you've done a proper IRP using realistic technology costs, it is good to have an indicative plan that indicates that based on the assumptions that you've made, and you put your assumptions on the table, the technology costs on the table, this is what the modeling shows. In other words, an IRP is a techno-economic study. It's a fairly mechanistic process based on the assumptions you make. Important that you declare your assumptions so they can be studied. Important that the assumptions should be realistic. But it is useful, you know, to put the output of the study, you know, on the table for people to see, because it gives an idea to the private sector of what are the likely best choices to be made. It's not to dictate to the private sector, you know, what it should finance and what it should not finance, but at least it's a good indicative plan.
How will it work in practice? Can the private sector go out and build and then sell the electricity to whoever is willing to buy it? Or will it be a formal process such as the renewable energy program where individual projects were licensed by government, which we've seen over the past decade and a half? How will it work on the ground?
The way I see it is that public procurements will need to, first of all, be in the IRP, in the plan, and they will need a ministerial determination. If you look at the Electricity Regulation Act, there's still a requirement for a ministerial determination. Maybe that applies to public procurement process. And of course, they have to follow all the requirements of the Public Finance Management Act. In other words, the procurement processes in the public sector. But when it comes to what we might call behind-the-meter solutions, that is on the customer premises, and wheeled power solutions, that is power that is generated from independent power producers, wheeled across the grid and sold to off-takers, private off-takers, that does not have to be in the IRP. There is an indicative amount in the IRP as to, you know, what they expect would be the kind of capacity from these behind-the-meter and wheeled solutions. But you don't have to get a ministerial determination. You don't need a license. And that is really for the market to decide, for customers and power producers to decide amongst themselves. But there is indication of what they estimate would come from this source. But of course, it's only an estimate. It's not prescriptive.
Lastly, one of our big structural problems in the electricity sector is transmission lines. We have run out of capacity on those lines, and 14,000 kilometers of transmission lines is planned to be built over the next decade. I don't know if that will happen, but that is the need. Is there enough capacity on the transmission side to accommodate these additional investments or projects?
Not unless there is a major investment in the grid. That goes without saying. So the Eskom Transmission Development Plan envisages, I think it's about 350 to 400 billion rand of investment in the grid over the next 10 years. This plan that's on the table is really about generation. But of course, it needs a number of other enabling factors, one of which is the grid upgrades, expansion of the grid, and the other is the skills development, and also the development of a viable and healthy construction industry, without which this cannot happen.
Chris, baie dankie vir jou tyd. Dit was Chris Jelland, hy is 'n energiekenner en hy is ook betrokke by EE Publishing. Laat Portfolium se kundige finansiële adviseurs jou bystaan om 'n beter uitkoms vir aftrede te verseker. SMS die woord RAND na 37522 teen R1 en Portfolium skakel jou terug.
Is jy 55 jaar of ouer en 'n lid van die GEPF? Goeie nuus is jy kan nou op 'n vroeë aftrede gaan sonder enige penalisasies en moontlike addisionele vergoeding kry volgens jou diensjare. Vra soos: hoe benut ek my volle belastingvrye voordeel uniek deur die GEPF met aftrede? Wat gebeur met my mediese subsidie as ek sou vroeër aftree? Hoe betaal ek so min as moontlik belasting gedurende my aftrede en kan ek dit werklik bekostig? Jy het net tyd tot 30 November om hierdie lewensveranderende besluit te neem. Stuur 'n SMS teen R1 met die woord RAND na 37522 of rig 'n e-pos aan info@portfolium.co.za. Niemand verstaan die GEPF beter as Portfolium nie. Laat ons jou bystaan om 'n ingeligte besluit te neem.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoe elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Money Web Potgoe, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Money Web News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.